You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is the plague at all a threat in the modern day?
No.
The Wire.
New research out of the University of Auckland is exploring how middle-aged women understand and manage their drinking. I spoke with Dr. Kate Kersey, a researcher in the Department of Social and Community Health at the University of Auckland, about how women navigate pressures and what that tells us about drinking culture in Aotearoa. Your research suggests that many women are actually not aware of the long-term risks like cancer and don't necessarily prioritize them in their health. What led you to explore that gap between the knowledge and the behavior?
So the woman that I interviewed actually didn't know a lot or didn't talk about cancer a lot. I didn't specifically ask them about cancer, but I asked them about the health risks associated with alcohol. So I can't really assess how much they knew about the long-term risks, but in their responses to me, they very much focused on the short-term risks, or actually I would say the health impacts of drinking alcohol, the immediate effects on their health, and very few mention longer-term risks.
Why do you think long-term risks like cancer felt less immediate or less important compared to things like immediate risks like sleep or energy or weight?
I think that there is a natural, what they call the time framing of risks, and people concentrate on what is in front of them. So these, as I call them, health impacts, you know, weight, sleep, the ability to kind of do what they want to do the next day, that's really immediate. So that's a really natural thing. But also the longer term issues with alcohol are more that they are risks, like alcohol is a risk for seven different types of cancers, including mouth, breast and bowel cancer. And there's also a perception that there are a lot of risks out there. In some other research we have done, someone actually said that, you know, everything causes cancer. You can get cancer from eating burnt toast. Now, we know that alcohol is actually a group 1 carcinogen, so it is in the same category as tobacco and asbestos. So it isn't really like that kind of burnt toast comment or crossing the road or things like that. But I think if you relegate it to a risk, it's kind of uncertain whether it actually will occur for you or not. And there's just a lot of risks that people do feel like they're managing.
Your research focuses a lot on middle-aged women and their relationship with drinking. How are women in particular navigating these social pressures differently when it comes to drinking?
So if you look historically, men have always kind of drunk in public and, you know, getting drunk and drinking a lot, it could kind of be seen as very kind of masculine behaviour. For women, drinking's always been a little bit in the past. It was actually people frowned upon it. But when we got to the 80s and 90s, then women saw themselves as empowered and they'd go out drinking. So there's actually this relationship for women with their drinking where they just have to be really careful to find that line with kind of appropriate drinking. But at the same time, they're really encouraged to do it. We've built a whole nighttime economy with restaurants and bars that are now marketed towards women, and alcohol products are marketed to women. So it definitely very much fits in their lives. And the research that we have done shows that it has lots of meanings for women, for pleasure, for relaxation, stress management, spending time with their partners and significant others. So alcohol has a really wide range of functions in women's lives.
Do you think New Zealand's drinking culture makes it easier to downplay the risks as opposed to that social expectation?
Oh, definitely. With New Zealand's drinking culture, we very much celebrate a certain type of drinking, and alcohol is a really valuable economic activity, social and economic activity in New Zealand. The main people that we kind of focus on are those that cause acute alcohol harm, like drink driving or getting into fights, or people that can't manage their alcohol consumption. So we have a very strong idea that you can drink responsibly, and if you can drink responsibly, then you've earned the right to drink alcohol. And let's face it, we still have a very high prevalence of both drinking in general and hazardous drinking in this country. So yes, I think it's very difficult because responsible drinking is such a vague notion. And I found in my research that people could drink half a bottle or a bottle of nut a night, which is a lot for cancer, increasing cancer risk. But actually, because they're doing it all and fitting it in with their life and still being economically successful, having a great social life, still exercising, they think that's fine. So I think we actually have a very encouraging climate that's inbuilt into us, our whole social and economic web of society that encourages drinking.
You mention individual responsibility when it comes to drinking. How does that tie in with the overall health culture, like dieting, exercising, that kind of thing that happens around middle-aged women in particular?
What I found from the research was that because women are more focused on the health impacts, they tend to categorise their drinking as responsible if they can do all those other things in the health culture more. So if they're exercising regularly, tracking their sleep and making sure they get good sleep, having good social networks, which is another sign of health culture, then they will worry a lot less about the amount they're drinking and regardless of the amount they're drinking. And especially if they manage to, exercise and, keep slim and have the outward appearance of health, then they think that their alcohol consumption is, well, I don't really know actually what they think, but what they told me is that seems to kind of compensate for their alcohol consumption.
Your research suggests that this isn't just about individual choice. What are some of the bigger systems and environments influencing these decisions?
That's a really good question, because individual responsibility is this notion that we have in kind of our Western societies, that people should have the right to just choose what they want to do and make those decisions without having kind of regulation put on them. The problem is it can be really hard to make those decisions in societies that what we might call alcogenic. So if everything around you is pushing you towards drinking, like the availability of alcohol, and we've got the very aggressive marketing of alcohol products, particular products marketed to women that are, healthy and slim and low calorie, which still often have the same amount of alcohol in them. So our environments are just not neutral. And so while women do have the choice, it can be really hard to make that choice if you're having a bad day and alcohol has that really strong meaning to you that you should, have a drink to relax. And also, for a very good example is that alcohol is available in supermarkets where women shop, and that really gives the impression it's a grocery item, and we know that it is very far from a grocery item. It's a psychoactive substance that is incredibly habit-forming and actually also addictive.
And finally, what's one key takeaway that you hope that middle-aged women around New Zealand can take from your research?
I would really, I'd like women to, it's a good question, because I don't just want to put all the blame on women and say, well, you need to take out from this research that, you should drink less to not get cancer. But I think that if women can see that the system is a bit stacked against them in terms of encouraging them to drink, sometimes that awareness is really important to realise, actually, this isn't something that's that healthy for me. And so I want to feel empowered to do something about it. But I think the real messaging of this research is for policymakers, that they actually need to change the alcohol environments in New Zealand.
That was Dr. Kate Kersey on midlife women's health and alcohol culture.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.